Welcome to Christ Fellowship Bible Church radio program. Stay tuned for singing and the morning message.
Lift up a heart of praise. Sing now with voices raised to Jesus. Sing to the King.
Good morning and welcome to Christ Fellowship Bible Church radio program. My name is Steve Willing and I pastor Christ Fellowship Bible Church. Christ Fellowship Bible Church is an independent church that serves the Crisfield Marion Station area, and we meet at 5910 Crisfield Highway here in Marion Station. Our Sundays begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m. We have classes for adults and youth. Love to have you come and join us for that. Again, that starts at 9. Then at 10 o'clock we have our morning worship service, and again that begins at 10 o'clock. So since it's only about 8:32 almost, you have plenty of time to come and join us as we look forward to worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. This evening we would normally have our evening worship service, but we are hoping to have our picnic. Weather permitting, we're going to have the picnic right here on the church grounds. That starts at 3 o'clock. You are welcome to join us for that if you would like, and that starts at 3. Now, if it happens to rain and we have to cancel out, you're not sure, give me a call at the number at the end of the program that I give, and I'll answer your questions. And if it does rain, we'll be having our evening worship service, and that starts at 6. Tuesday evening, we'll be having Bible study at 7 o'clock. We've started a new series in 2 John. And we're only into, this will be the third week of it. So come on out and join us for that. That's, again, we've started a Bible study in 2 John. It's been an excellent study so far. Encourage you to come out Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. Wednesday, we move down to the nursing home. We have a time of singing with the residents there. And they always enjoy it. And it is open to the public. It is on the second or third floor. So when you come in the door, you can ask the receptionist, and she'll point you to the right floor. But it's always a wonderful time, and we just thank the Lord for those opportunities that He gives us. We do have a lot of different things going on, certainly through the week, with our men's meeting, women's, a lot of other different stuff that just pops up sometimes once a month, sometimes every week. But if you have any questions, please feel free to call me at 410-623-2401 or the other addresses that I give at the end of the program. But with all that being said, I've got a song selected that I pray that the Lord will use to minister to each heart and soul.
With hope and dream completely crumbled, my life was built. Darkness fades.
And that was Mr. Dallas Marshall singing for us with Wounded Hands. And we thank the Lord for that message in the song and knowing that the Lord himself is able to bring the healing that we need in this life and carry us on into eternity. With all that being said there, that I have a message that I preached last Sunday night out of Galatians. It was there at the end of the chapter as it draws to the end where it speaks of the fruit of the Spirit, the need to walk in the Spirit, but also how we, as the end of the book itself, coming into chapter 6, it deals with Christian conduct and how we as believers are to conduct ourselves among one another. I'd like us to turn tonight to the end of the 5th chapter of Galatians. And we had finished up last time we were together as we talked about walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, how important that is for us as the believer. Again, we're not speaking to a lost person. This is not where we talk about just pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, just getting more educated to do better. But we understand that if we have come to faith in Jesus Christ, empowered with the Spirit of God, that naturally we should be bearing fruit in our lives. And we named those things last several times we were together and we talked about the fruit of the Spirit, as far as us being a loving people, a people that are joyful, a people that are at peace, a people that are long-suffering or patient with one another, individuals that are kind, people that are good, those that are faithful in that of their call, again, being gentle, having self-control in certain situations. At times, as we know, it can be easy for those things to be manifest in the church when all is going well and everything is running smoothly. But then if we get into the world and it's where the world is the world and things are not so easy, that's when, again, it's not that we cast aside the fruit that we pluck it and toss it aside, but that is when it really should bear the truth of who we are. Noted that certainly in times in our church life that we want to be manifesting all of these. But generally, or it should be, as far as the church, it should be easily able to manifest them. But as Paul would note, he says in verse 24, he says, "And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions, its lusts, its desires." Those things, they've been done away with. We have died to those things. We're no longer held captive to that of sin within the flesh, meaning that Christ himself has broken the bonds of sin over lies, the power of sin in us. So we are no, this, he says here that they have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. He says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And again, folks, that's not something, as we pause here for a moment, that's not something that is mystical in the sense that some would have it, that we're just waiting for the Spirit to move. It's not the case. As the believer, that we are filled with the Spirit already, so it's not so much as a moving of the Spirit, but the Spirit of God is always maturing us, always growing up. And if we are filled with the Spirit of God, if we have received that of salvation from Christ alone and been given the Spirit of God, then we'll walk in the Spirit. If we're living in Him, if I've been made alive in the Spirit of God, let us also walk that way. Let us bear the fruit of the Spirit. And then lastly, in verse 26, he says, "Let us not become conceited." Conceited, or as King James noted, desirous of vain glory. Looking for glory, desiring glory for yourself. A glory that would amount to nothing. It says here, "Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another." I want us to focus, because last time we covered quite a bit of this. I just wanted to go over those 24th and 25th verse. But then in 26, as it closes, and it almost is, it leads in to where the chapter break is there. Where Paul notes, "Let us not become conceited." Let us not become conceited, desirous for vain glory, provoking one another, envying
one another. Paul, he tells those of the believers that as they are walking in the Spirit of God, as they are indwelt with the Spirit, living in the Spirit, as they walk in the Spirit, that there are those opportunities, even spiritually speaking, that we as the church, as we come together, that we can be indwelt, empowered, given that of the fruit of the Spirit, and we can walk in such a way that initially starting that it honors God. But even some of the gifts of which God gives us, those gifts directly from the Spirit, the talents of which God gives us. There at times, sometimes we can use those things that God has blessed us with, and we too can become puffed up. We can become arrogant. We can, as Paul said, let us not become conceited. Let us not become conceited, desirous of vain glory. That word there in and of itself, it means someone who would be egotistical, prideful, pompous, self-important. Look at me and look kind of me, even if we were to go that way with it, look at what God has done in my life. Look at me. Not so much about giving God the glory, not again desirous of vain glory, look at me. But instead, we certainly should be saying, look what God has done. Even in times when we get together and pray, and we speak about the effective prayer and the need for us to pray and being a prayerful people and how powerful prayer is. But again, it's not the prayer itself, but it's the one who answers the prayer. It's not that so much I prayed, but it's the one who heard the prayer and answered it for me. But we note today, as it was in Paul's day and is in our day, that you've got those who, whether of a gifting of God or not, have come to a place where it's more about them. So if they have so much what is called something of healing in their ministry, they have what would be called a healing ministry. And as many of you have noted, what happens is it becomes more about them than it does God. It becomes more about, look what I can do. If you come here, I can do this. I can lay hands on you. I can pray this prayer for you. I can do, I can do, I can do. And again, it's a shift away from God glorifying praise to that of a self-aggrandizement. And Paul, he calls these Christians at this time. He says, let us not become conceited. Let us not become conceited among each other. Let us not pump ourselves up, become egotistical, prideful, pompous, self-important. Because again, as we look at being conceited or that of being desirous of vainglory, the true definition there would be having too high an opinion of oneself, thinking that we're so much better than each other. And that's a clear warning. It's a clear warning, as Paul would speak about, of the fruit of the Spirit and how lovely that is. When that is operating within the church, when the body of believers are manifesting the fruit of the Spirit of God in their lives, that we are loving one another, that we are joyful, that we're at peace with God, at peace with each other, that we're just relishing in all these things. But then there can come alongside, when we're operating in such a fashion, that of, as Paul notes, with all that can go on, with all that God has blessed us with and all that God has honored us with, he says, let us not become conceited. Let us not get too high an opinion of ourselves. I noted one time in my ministerial career, if you want to call it that, I was before a board, And some of you have heard me tell it before, that there was this discussion about a particular point of doctrine that I was engaged in. And as the discussion went on, that the one person that was there, they decided to flaunt that of their educational credentials to me. Said that they knew what that meant because they had been to seminary, making a reference that I had not gone that far in my schooling yet. At that point, I realized and said, maybe I should have probably just kept my mouth shut. It probably been a better thing. But I said, now I understand what I'm dealing with here. I understand. And friends, that's one of the things that can go on, that we can gain too high an opinion of ourselves, even in ways of spirituality. Discussed it with many people before, that spiritual pride, we can have a pride of life, but when we speak of spiritual pride, that seems to be the worst kind of pride that we can have, that myself as pastor, that think I'm so much better than anybody here, or those of which in the congregation think that they've got it more figured out than what the pastor does. Paul reminds us, as he says, let us not become conceited. Let us not become conceited. Let's not take too high an opinion of ourselves. Because we all would understand, I believe looking around this group tonight, that all of us would understand that everything that you have, every grace that is in your life, whether it be something of the way you can use your hands, the way you can use your mind, or a combination of those things, and God has gifted you and given you the talent in those areas, I would believe that all of us tonight would acknowledge that all that I am able to do has come from the Lord. It's God's. God has enabled me to do this. God has given me this. It's not that at times we sought it, went looking for it, but God has given me this ability, this thing of which I am able to do, or multiple things that I am able to do. So we have to pause, as Paul notes and says, let's not become conceited. We need to recall that this is something that is gifted to you of God. It's given of God. Proverbs 18, if you just drop back there with me for a moment. I used several Proverbs this evening as I got thinking of the different passages that are here. The 18th chapter of Proverbs, there in the 12th verse, the Bible says, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. It's lifted up before destruction comes. And that's why, again, Paul says that all of this that we are gifted with, blessed with, that God has given us, we don't want to raise ourselves up and pump ourselves up, because as the proverb writer notes in several places, but this is the one I chose, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. It's arrogant. It can be pompous. Self-engaging, or making it like I'm more important, self-importance. And as he says, and before honor is humility. Colossians, as Paul would write there, if we jump back near Galatians and just go a chapter or so ahead. Colossians, there in the second chapter, Paul reminds the group here in those churches in Colossians, chapter 2, looking at verse 18, Paul notes, he says, let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by the joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulation? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. But verse 23, those things indeed have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Paul was written there in Galatians, and we had gone through how the Judaizers of the day were trying to trap people again. You must be circumcised. Yes, Christ but this, Christ but that. You've got to have something else added onto, or at times taken away. Paul notes that there is this arrogance that can come about here in Colossians. Let no one cheat you of reward, taking delight in false humility. We note again that we live in a time, as Paul did, that we have those that puff themselves up, thinking that they've got the latest and greatest revelation from the Lord, and make them sound like everybody else is below them. It's just repackaged Gnosticism from back in the day. Just that there is a higher level of knowledge, just greater understanding of which we don't have. And in the church, that we can at times find that manifesting itself. And that's why Paul said these things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body. But they are of no value when it comes to an indulgence of the flesh. Because again, as Paul said, do not become conceited. Don't have too high an opinion of yourself. Because we understand that God has gifted us the way He has. He's given us this fruit of which we need to walk in. Going back to Galatians, as Paul would note, and it would appear that as we read, he says, let us not become conceited. So let's not have too high of an opinion of each other, because if this is something that goes on, if we have too high of an opinion of ourselves, then what can happen is then that we start to provoke one another. Let us not become conceited. If we become conceited, well, what it could lead to is a provoking of one another here. And what does that mean when we talk about provoking one another? A word of which my wife would probably use for me at times would be aggravate. You aggravate me at times. Inflame. Or maybe the latest word that we see on television with all that's been going on in our culture over the last several years, trigger. You trigger me. You know, we can be proclaiming the truth and that just offends somebody, and that's a trigger for them to be provoked to do something crazy like we see going on in Publix this week, where they're laid out in the Publix store because Publix gave their support to the NRA. But it means, when we talk about provoking one another, it means to arouse to a strong feeling or an action, to provoke somebody, push their buttons. Some of us, maybe through our lifetime, we become pretty good at that, at pushing people's buttons. I know in my family, we were pretty good at it. If we figured out something that we could get somebody off on, we could pretty much push their buttons. If we knew that we could get a dig there. And that's what we see, and not again in a joking manner here, but it is a serious manner. Because oftentimes we can find ourselves, if we have lifted ourselves up as thinking of ourselves more than we should, then what happens, we can, and maybe even to our ignorance at times, provoke other people because we think we're just so much better. And by the way, the words we say, by the things, how we say it, those kind of things can demean or belittle. It can cause confusion. It can cause aggravation within the church. So Paul, he reminds us, again, let us not become conceited, high-minded, thinking that we're all it, provoking one another, again, to aggravate or inflame or to trigger, to push those buttons, to arouse those strong feelings, to cause someone to act, to lash out. There are times, is noted, that when we're in the world and maybe we're sharing the gospel, or maybe we're just having a political discussion, or maybe just sharing what our views are on whatever the topic may be. And then there, if we go maybe too far and say, hey, or I don't want to say too far, but if we make it clear that this is where we stand on this particular position, that some people would take that, if they can't bear that, then they in turn would attack you. They would assault you verbally or otherwise. They couldn't argue their point out, then they would look to demean you or to belittle you, to make you look like you're ignorant. And that's not to be named among us as the church. We do understand that there are people who are not at the maybe the level, to use that term, the level of faith that we are. But that gives us no recourse, that gives us no right to belittle them or to demean them, to provoke them, to maybe say something or do something that they would normally not do. And Paul, he warns us here of that. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another. We've got to be careful in our turns, because we know we've got weaker brothers and sisters, maybe new in the faith. And if we allow ourselves to get puffed up and then we're presenting ourselves to someone who is young in the faith, whether they're older than you or not, it can be a cause for a feeling that they have belittled me or demeaned me, remember what the scripture tells us, and it's something that I know I have to remind myself of because I like to say, oh, the truth, the truth, the truth. I have to remember that as the Lord calls us to declare the truth, He also calls us as we declare the truth, that we speak that truth in what? Love. We speak that truth in love. Lastly, as we noted here, is if we speak about, as he says, do not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another, because then that can lead in to the next point here of envying one another, being covetous. And we know that, and being a tenth commandment, that that's not something that the people of God are to be given to. We're not to covet someone else what they have, or to become jealous of them. Envying one another, to define it, would be a painful awareness of another's possessions or advantages and a desire to have them. We can look at people maybe behind the pulpit or people in the maybe in the what's called the spotlight that have the platform. And individuals can become jealous or envious of that. As a young pastor, I can remember that there were certainly times in my life and need to guard now. That you can look and see what maybe this church is doing or that church is doing, this pastor is doing or this one is doing. You have to remember that I am where I am because of the grace that God has given me today. I need not be jealous of those individuals. And believe it or not, it does occur in the church. It occurs in the church because people become jealous of one's position within the church.
And dear friends, that's all we're going to have time for today. But I would encourage you, if you would like to hear the rest of that sermon, because there's probably about another 15 minutes left on that. If you would like that or any other sermon in its entirety, or if you would like to have any questions answered that we as the church could answer for you, please call 410-623-2401. Drop us a note in the mail, 5910 Crisfield Highway, Marion Station, Maryland, 21838. Go to our website, which is www.christfellowshipbiblechurch.com. There's some information there. Or you can listen to our podcast, which is christfellowshipbiblechurch.fireside.fm. But once again, thanks for tuning in on WBY 97.9 and listening to our program heard here every Sunday morning at 8:30. God bless you all and have a wonderful week in the Lord Jesus Christ.
All of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions. It can list a